You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is
Fight Disciples.
Welcome to podcast number 440. We are the Fight Disciples, and this one is dedicated to the world of boxing. Lots going on this week, so it's going to be an action-packed show. If it's the first time you've ever come across us for your boxing chat as we build up to a big weekend of action, you can subscribe to us on fightdisciples.com. and via iTunes. That's where you can get everything that you need when it comes to the podcast. On our website, fightdisciples.com, you can also get the YouTube feed, you can get all the social media interaction, and you can get a link to the bar, basically, because that's where we sell our proper tackle. Yep, we brew beer, it's called Proper Tackle, and you can buy it in packs of 24. There you go, it's your perfect fight night accompaniment. Go and get yourself stuck into that. If you listen to the UFC show already this week, you'll know that we recorded that in the back of a taxi driving back from Heathrow. We were a couple of sheets to the wind, let me tell you. And straight after that show, I was fast asleep. This show, very different. This is back to the old school. We're doing this over our Zoom conference call. And my trusted colleague is currently sat in a dressing gown, or as some people refer to it as, a house coat, drinking rosé wine. I've decided to detox today and not get stuck in at all, but you've carried on as normal, mate, haven't you? You're still in Abu Dhabi enjoying yourself.
Exactly. I think it was more than anything, I was going to detox, but then I had me bath, as you do, put me PJs on, got me dressing gown on. The wife said, fancy a glass of wine? Said, you know what? Why not?
Yeah, but you drink... Rosé, yeah. As your tasting rosé wine actually gone up a bit, because there was a time where you were drinking £3 bottles of the shite.
Yeah, this is like a £7.
Whoa, Nicholas, just rein it in there, pal. What's going on now? I'll tell you, some of that BT money's cashed in, and your son, look at you.
Absolutely, party. Get it on.
Can't take you seriously, because obviously only people can only hear the audio version of this. I can see you in your dressing gown thinking that you're fucking Jorge Masvidal. Yeah, you've got full Hugh Hefner on me. That's what you've done.
Full Hugh Hefner, yeah. Exactly.
Drinking a glass of rosé.
That's how I feel.
Listen, there's a lot of action this weekend. At the weekend just gone, we had a fight of the year contender. I'm excited to talk about all that. But then I started just looking into the news of boxing. Because we've been away and we've been absolutely embroiled in everything UFC, I've just been trying my best to keep up to date with all the big stories, the fights that are getting made and anything that's been happening. I've got to be honest, it put me in a bad mood, mate. I started getting a little bit depressed thinking about boxing being in a bit of a bad state. Now, don't get me wrong, the action this weekend, everybody should be pumped for it, right? You've got Usyk and Chisora going at it in New Year's in action. You've got Gassiev making his heavyweight debut, even though it's against a fucking cruiserweight, doesn't matter. All these things are all positive things. And of course, you've got the Davis and Leo Santa Cruz fight. How much is that on British TV? Again, that'll get us going. Yep. You've got the situation with the British border control just brushing Terry O'Connor under the carpet, which we've already reacted to on social media, but we'll get stuck into it right now. You've got Crawford versus Brook. That fight, again, not being on a mainstream broadcaster. And then you've got the making of a Billy Joe Saunders and Martin Murray fight, which I've got a few different thoughts on. Where do you want to start? It's up to you, mate, seeing as you're drinking rosé wine.
Let's start with the positives. Come on, I'm in a good mood. I've had a nice bath. The kids went to bed nice and easy. We had a lovely day.
Yeah.
I don't want to jump straight in with fucking Lord Voldemort.
Mm.
Let's kick it off.
There's not much positivity in the news this week, I'm going to be honest with you. Go on, where's your positive news then? What do you want to do?
News.
Do you want to talk about the fight to the weekend? I'll tell you what we'll do.
Head to the weekend and get excited.
No, we do that at the end. We leave on a high note, mate. That's what we do. That's our trademark. Leave on a high note. Get people hard and then try and sell them some beer. That's what we try and do. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah? At the weekend, let's have a quick look at Estrada versus Quadras, right? Because coming into that fight, I knew on paper that it was a solid matchup. We had Chocolatito, of course, on the undercard of this. But the fight that I want to see is obviously Chocolatito, Estrada, the rematch. That's what everybody's pumped for. Chocolatito comes through, tidy, tick, tick, tick. All we needed then was Estrada to come through. And I tell you something, Quadras was having none of it, was he? He basically looked at this fight and he thought to himself, fuck this, I'm going to throw the kitchen sink at this lad and I'm going to create an all-out Mexican war. Captivating from the very, very first belt. I think, was it the fourth round when he dumped him on his ass? And I thought to myself, no. This is not what I'm this ain't what's supposed to be happening right now, pal. The other fella's just won. We need to see the rematch. Don't you be throwing spanners into the works here, lad. Great fight, man. Great fight. And everybody that has watched that or commented on it being a fight of the year contender, I think you're right up there. I know we've got slim pickings this year with the pandemic and what have you, but that was an absolute banger on a matchroom card in Mexico.
It was an absolutely wonderful fight. And sometimes rematches often are as well. And I think Quadras have been brought in, hadn't he, as an opponent, as you say. Chocolatito's on the card as well. You bring him in, you know, they know he's got a, you know, Estrada's got a win over him previously. It's a case of, it was a good fight first time around. Let's get him in there, make him look good. And then third round, the knockdown comes and it's just like, oh shit, now we're in a fight. Now we've got to do it. But listen, that's what Estrada does, isn't it? He dug deep and he retained the title. And that's what it's all about, really, to keep that big fight lined up. But it was a belter, an absolute belter. But he dropped them, what was it, twice in the 10th or the 11th? Dropped them twice in a, just to fucking...
Yeah, finished him in the 11th.
Get over the line.
Yeah. Thank you very much to our mate, Chris Dootson, who... he's basically our pirate.
Legend.
Yeah, he's our little pirate. He's what he does. He's a big Captain fight Chris. Disciple, listens to all the stuff, watches more fights than anybody I know on this planet, and always seems to manage to find a nice savvy way when you're abroad to be able to catch these fights. Of course, this happened whilst we were on Fire Island. The time difference was perfect. I checked my Instagram messages on, I think it was Saturday morning. There he is with the link. Cheers, Chris. Nice one, mate. I'll just lie in bed here before I have me... all bran, as you outed me yesterday, right? Before I have that, whilst Preach. I'm on Fight Island, job done and watch the fight. So brilliant stuff. And it was a cracking fight. And now roll on, obviously, Estrada Chocolatito. I'm led to believe that they're going to be making it. That there's no other fight to make. Go and get it done and give us something to look forward to at the start of 2021. Now, let's get into the news, right? Might as well. We'll try and do this in order. British Boxing Border Control. No action taken against Terry O'Connor. Your rant last week was absolutely spot on. Loads of people have made comments on that, obviously contacting us here at Fight Disciples. When, during the week, I don't know where we were out somewhere, you were checking social media and you went, here you go, what do you reckon of this? And you pinged me the official press release or whatever it may be from the British Boxing Border Control, which saying that Terry O'Connor will be appearing in front of us. And I said to you straight away, it's just lip service, mate. That is just lip service. Fuck all's going to happen in that meeting. All it is, they have to do something now. It's like a face-saving exercise. They've got to show willing that they are investigating the situation because of the pictures of him supposedly looking away from the fight, whether it's at his book or a notepad or a phone or whatever it may be. It's just one of them. Listen, Terry, don't worry, mate. We've just got to be seen to be doing our job. Come in, sit down. We'll have a brew and a biscuit. We'll go through it. You can explain it. We'll give you a little bit of a tickle on the wrists. Next thing you know, you're away working again. I knew then what was going to happen. This is our British Boxing Border Control's old dealings with UCAD, for example, have never, ever now given me any confidence with the jurisdiction and the decision-making within that organization. Watching that interview from Robert Smith, was it the day after or two days after? I think he did it with IFL, and he's saying, I'm not going to be listening to pissed up people sat at home watching the boxing and their opinions don't matter and all this type of stuff. I thought, do you know something? That just sums it all up. You are so out of date with the boxing fan. It's ludicrous. I don't even want to get involved with thinking that they were going to do something right with the Terry O'Connor thing. It was always just going to be lip service. That's all it was.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, whether they've looked into it or not, and whether it was his mobile phone or whether it was a scorecard, whether he looked down at it for 30 seconds, whether he looked down at it for a number of milliseconds, it doesn't fucking matter. It's this guy again and again and again. Mm. He's the worst judge. He was a shocking referee, but he is the worst judge in British boxing. And until we start cleaning up the sport, until we start getting rid of these judges and stop giving them high-profile fights, TV exposure fights, it's never going to go away. And we are becoming a joke. International fighters are saying you got to go to, you know, you need a knockout to get a draw in the UK. Exactly how we used to say it about Germany. We are that country now.
I remember one of my first ever conversations with Teofimo Lopez. This is really random that you just brought that up. Because I said to him, love for you to come over to England, man. Come and do your thing in England. The fans over in England will absolutely love your style. And he went, yeah, as long as you treat me fairly, man. I ain't going to come over there, you know what I mean? You better give me a fair shake. And at the time, I kind of just laughed it off. But that's the attitude now. The American fighters are looking in at that. The European fighters, guys, international fighters are looking in at the way that judging in this country is being done right now and the ridiculous cards that are being put in. And yeah, they are apprehensive of coming here because the risk is a massive risk for them. If a tight fight against a top quality fighter goes the distance, they believe that they're not going to get the rub of the green. That's where we're at right now.
And you can't argue with that either. You can't argue because that performance, that, you know, we were just that Ritson performance. He just never won that fight on six rounds.
Six rounds, man.
It's fucking absolutely outrageous. So what disappointed me about the board, like yourselves, I expected that. I expected them to go, nah, it was all right. He just looked for a second. It wasn't his phone. It was this. It was whatever. It was this. And cover for him and make excuses. I wasn't asked about that because I knew he'd cover that up.
Same.
That didn't bother me. What I wanted was a statement on the six rounds that he'd made, the actual decision. The conversation should have been, Terry, you've been brought before the board because the allegations, you looked at your phone. We've looked at the footage. Before we give you our decision, what's your take on it? And he's gone, because I'm guessing that's how he talks, the big fucking horrible cunt. And I think the board have just gone, yeah, we agree with you. You've looked down at your scorecard. We agree. It was a scorecard that, yeah. You look down for
that's fine. You can blag whatever there. You can blag whatever that is. I'm not interested in that.
You know, at the end of the day, listen, a judge should score each round individually.
Yeah.
Should score each round separate from the previous rounds.
Yeah.
So I don't know what he's looking at. Even if it was a scorecard, why is he looking at it mid-round anyway? It doesn't matter how you scored the last round.
Yeah.
You're supposed to score this round fairly and as its own single entity. So I don't know what you're looking at your scorecard for anyway.
Mm.
So I'm not having that bullshit, but whatever. And I expected that. But what I want the board to do is go, by the way, Terry, we have reviewed the fight. There's no way on fucking God's green earth Ritson wins that fight by six rounds. It just doesn't happen. It's impossible.
Yeah.
You need, unfortunately, Terry, this is not the first time. And you're going back to referees school. And just like they do in the Premier League, not often enough, but just like you do in the Premier League, right, you're now suspended from doing any world title fights, mm-hmm. any title fights of any nature. And if we can help it, just for 6 months, just until, you know, all this blows over, we're going to keep you off our TV cards. So no Matchroom and no Frank Warren. And that's a whole different conversation because that was what I was alluding to midweek via Twitter. Frank Warren and Eddie Hearn, as the biggest promoters in the UK, therefore the people that give the most money in the UK to the British Boxing Board of Control through license fees and, mm-hmm. and everything else, they need to say, because listen, the blowback on that was, people weren't necessarily, it was only us And Fight Disciples are going, oh, here we go, Voldemort again, fucking Teddy O'Connor, here we go. What do you expect? The rest of the sports public watching that fight are like, fucking typical Eddie Hearn. Fucking typical Sky Sports.
Yeah.
Robbing bastards, robbing that poor guy and giving it to the fucking Geordie. Oh, my, why boxing's a disgrace, blah, 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 blah. The main ones in the firing lineup were Eddie Hearn and Matchroom Boxing and Sky Sports Boxing. They took the brunt of the blame. The rollover then is the border control, and then it's only like people who are fucking, who are aware of Voldemort and how fucking corrupt and shit he is that actually went straight for the fucking, the problem. Now, if I'm Eddie Hearn and I'm listening to the podcast today when I'm having my Weetabix or whatever it may be.
Or Bram.
Yeah, man, I agree. Oh, is he all brand like you? Is
yeah.
He can't not agree that Teddy O'Connor is a threat to his business. People have stopped watching boxing because of actions like that.
Yeah.
And it's fuel to the fire, just that little clip of him looking down at his phone or his scorecard, wherever it may be. That's just fuel to the fire. That's what people... Oh, look at the fucking state of boxing. Fat old men. No business being there, out of touch with the sport.
Agreed.
Get them out of there. Eddie's got to come out. Frank's got to come out and just say to the board, listen, man, I know you've dealt with the fucking Voldemort situation. That's sound. But do me a favour. Don't fucking hand them to me for Chisora Usyk this weekend. I'm hearing. I've heard on the grapevine that Teddy O'Connor is down currently to judge Usyk versus Chisora. He is penciled in to judge that fight this weekend. It's fucking insane. You know, where is the fucking common sense here? The guy is a target now. He's got a target on his back, and rightfully so, because he's shit. He is actually shit at judging. That's just the top and bottom. Listen, everyone makes mistakes. All judges and referees make the odd mistake.
Mm.
One of my close mates who's a referee, Mark Lyson, he fucked up in the Edwards fight when the kid hit him on the ground and that. And listen, and Mark's had to learn from it, and Mark's gone away, and, you know, it'll make him a better judge for it. But 9 times out of 10, Mark Lyson's a good judge and a good referee.
Yeah.
And you can say that, you know, about 80% of the rest of them. Yes, they have bad nights. Yes, they have good nights. But this guy's just consistently bad. Every event he judges at, he does at least one fucking outrageously stupid scorecard. Mm. And it's never outrageously stupid against the Johnny Foreigner in the opposite corner. It's always outrageously stupid towards the fucking home fighter in that corner. Now, that's not negligence. That's corruption. And I'll say it again. It's corruption. Eddie Hearn, Frank Warren need to... If the board don't deal with it, they need to deal with it. Because I tell you now, if I'm tuning into Usyk versus Chisora this weekend, and as soon as I see that piece of shit take his seat at ringside, the first thing I'm going to do is tweet about it. First thing I'm going to do is go, hope this doesn't go to points, because Usyk's going to get shafted by fucking corruption Terry. And that is just going to be the theme of it. Why bother? Take him out of the spotlight. You know, toss him onto a fucking non-TV card in Peterborough somewhere.
You calm
10 years, man. 10 years I've been moaning about this piece of shit. 10 fucking years. This is not a one-off incident. And I know this was addressed on other more, you know, national podcasts, boxing podcasts. They addressed and said, oh, the pitchforks have come out now. Fucking people have appeared from nowhere, jumping all over it.
Appeared from nowhere. We've been doing this forever.
I've been banging a drum about fucking Voldemort for a long time. This was just the latest in a series of a decade-long run of gaffes from the same guy.
Mm.
He can't consistently be bad. The only way you're consistently bad is if you are fucking corrupt. If you want to try and keep your bread buttered on that side. Now, so what I'm alluding to there is, Terry is giving Frank and Eddie, and it's a lot of Eddie shows, he is giving them the results, what he thinks Eddie wants. He is trying to keep Eddie happy. Eddie has got to draw a line in the sand and go, no, I don't want you to make me happy. I want you to be fair because your fucking actions are impacting on my business and the legitimacy of my business. Boxing fans are saying Eddie Hearn's corrupt. Eddie Hearn has certain judges that do this, do that. Now, I don't believe for a second that's true, because I just don't think Eddie Hearn operates that way. But I do think that certain judges, including Voldemort, want to keep Eddie happy, mm-hmm. to keep getting work. Fuck him off, Eddie. Fuck him off, please.
Whilst we're mourning about stuff like this, you'll be pleased to know that the Mike Tyson Roy Jones Jr. fight has now got a WBC sanctioned belt on it, mate. There you go. Do you want to know what it's called? It's called the WBC Frontline Battle Belt. That's right, yeah. Both these lads are going to be going through VADA testing, obviously voluntary on that. And I'm led to believe that they're going to be using remote judging as well. And the scores at the end of every round will be released to the public, whether it's the viewing public back home, however they are consuming it, or whether it's, well, I say public in the auditorium. There's not going to be much public in the auditorium. I'm sure there'll be a few dignitaries, guests and friends and family in there. Social distance, of course, but it'll be announced at the end of every round. WBC, eh? Now, listen, on this fight, we've spoke about it on many occasions. I don't think either of us have got any problem with anybody earning any money, right? If you want to go and earn some coin, go and earn some coin. If you're a superstar with a legendary name like I am Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr., you want to have a bit of a dance, all the better if you can make some money for charity. We're all on board with that. And we've seen Mike Tyson give many interviews in the build-up to this fight saying that he's doing it for charity. He's trying to help out local charities that are close to his heart. Again, big thumbs up, cool, because the whole labelling of this is that it's an exhibition, a little bit of a dance, an opportunity for some of those that have heard the name Mike Tyson that have never seen him fight before, have a little bit of a go. It's not really a fight because the California State Athletic Commission are not going to allow a fight to break out. They're going to keep an eye on these two lads that are over 50 years of age and just give them a bit of a cuddle every now and again, you know what I mean? And just let them have a little bit of a roll around. So why does it need the WBC to come in and say, we'll stick a belt on this? Whoa, 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 whoa. Hang on a minute. You've confused everybody now. It's not a fight. It's an exhibition. It's not a proper knock. It's not for anything. It doesn't mean anything. Why are you sticking your fucking greedy little beaks in there and trying to get yourself a few quid out of it? Eh? Stay away, Maurizio. We've been speaking about you last week about introducing new weight categories and getting your bumming mitts all over this, saying that you're a non-profit organisation, that you're doing it for the benefit of all the fighters. No, you're not. You're doing it for the benefit of yourself and all your shareholders. That's what you're doing. You've seen an opportunity here, thinking to yourself, Mike Tyson will pull in a bit of an audience. The resurgence of the 53-year-old worldwide, I think it'll do some decent numbers, this. It's pay-per-view in the majority of countries all over the world. Some coin here. Right, let's stick a belt on it. Let's get 3% out of this, shall we? Fucking hell. This is what I mean when I was reading up on all the news that has happened over the last 7 days, because we've been in Fight Island mode. We've been in UFC mode. One single, one song, unifying divisions, the best against the best. So my headspace has been in those type of fights constantly, speaking about competitive fights, speaking about elite level fighting. Catch up on the boxing news and I'm like, what the fuck is this? What are we doing to ourselves? We're all originally boxing fans. Boxing's supposed to be the premier of all the fight sports, the noblest of the arts, the sweet science. But the bollocks at the back end of it with the business and the politics is just absolutely kicking the back ass out of it. No wonder that the numbers are all over the place. No wonder that that numbers are dwindling badly. People are sat at home, mate, with fuck all to do, and they're still not watching. What the fuck is going on?
Because they're being saved shite. That's why. They're being saved up shite. The quality of the fights just isn't consistent enough. I think we've had literally two, three, maybe four decent boxing matches the entire time we've had lockdown. You know, and at least one of them is coming up this weekend as well. It's just not good enough. And I'm like you, man. If Tyson and Roy Jones want to dance, and if in some way, shape or form, charities are going to benefit from
absolutely.
And listen, I know Roy Jones will probably stick a few in his own bin as well. And Tyson might even, you know, I think Tyson's using it to launch a new business venture where he's got sportsmen competing in other sports and doing some crossover type thing. It's cool, man. It's fine. As long as charities benefit, that's cool. But when a supposed WBC is not respected anymore. Over the last 5 years, they've gone from being the premier belt, the most respected governing body in world boxing, to being the worst of them all. They are the worst now. The WBC make up belts, make up weight divisions, just throw it at everything to get their 2%, their 3%. He's a cash greedy little bastard, he is. It's, you know, that's what he is. He's a greedy little bastard. And he is one of the worst of the lot now. He's a real virus on the sport of boxing. And I just pray every day that boxing somehow, somewhere, is able to get through what has become one of the murkiest periods. I feel like it's become one of the murkiest periods in the history, because fighters staying away from each other, the politics of it all, the multiple belts, multiple world champions. You know, it's fucking...
It's mad.
Horrific.
You've got a fight this weekend. And we're going to talk about...
so competitive.
We're going to talk about this fight at the weekend. On paper, it's brilliant. Gervonta Davis and Leo Santa Cruz is amazing. But how can you have belts from two different weight categories on the line for a fight? It's just mad. How can you have a lightweight title and a super featherweight title on the line for a super featherweight fight? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to anybody. Again, it's just fucking cash grab bullshit bollocks is what it is. We'll get to that in a minute because the fight itself quite excites me. A couple of fights that have been made, right? So we've got hot rumours that Michael Conlon and Isaac Dogby are going to be fighting on the Tyson Fury comeback card on December the 5th. This is good. This is good. Like this is a thumbs up, man, because we've said so many times, Michael Conlon needs a proper test. If you can't get a proper test in a former world champion, yeah, all right, a former world champion that has been beaten by your boy, Emmanuel Navarrete, but Isaac is a quality operator. He's most certainly, in the professional ranks, Michael's stiffest test. I think that's a really good fight and absolute kudos. That card, by the way, is shaping up nice. Forget what Tyson Fury is going to do, because he's probably going to have a little bit of a knockover. But you've got Anthony Yard and Lyndon Arthur on that card, and now you've got Conlon and Dogby as well. Nice, man. Starting to heat up nicely, that one.
I like that fight because Isaac, because he is so small, he's often overlooked, and they'll look at his brief reign as world champion and look at it as a quick stepping stone. But Isaac's game is fuck, man. And Michael Conlon doesn't get you out of there. Michael Conlon generally goes the distance. Michael Conlon finds a pace and fights at that pace and doesn't really seem to be able to go through the gears. Now, don't get me wrong, maybe Dogbo is the right type of opponent that we're going to see Michael Conlon finally go through the gears and excite us, because I get more excited about the Michael Conlon fight and the lead up to it and the narrative to it and the way he is. There's an interview and everything else.
He does the stuff outside the ring brilliantly, doesn't he? He does the stuff outside the ring amazingly, but inside the ring, listen, he's a brilliant technician. He's a wonderful boxer, but it's
brilliant
dull.
Boxer.
But it's dull. Let's go through the gears, man.
Yeah, it is dull. Yeah, it is dull, yeah. He gets into third gear and then he sticks in third and fourth gear and he gets through fights and wins rounds well. But man, this is an entertainment business and I've never been actually entertained by a Michael Conlon performance. Maybe Dogbay is the guy. Maybe this is the performance, the breakthrough performance. And once again, listen, I'm super excited to see Michael Conlon fight, but I'm equally excited to see if Isaac can get back on track. I love that fight for both those guys.
Yeah, great fight. Now, I've got mixed emotion about the fight that we're going to speak about next, right? Billy Joe Saunders taking on Martin Murray. Mixed emotions, because we both know Martin and we know him well. I'm delighted that he's got this shot. Absolutely delighted for Martin Murray. As a geezer that has been there, paid his dues, gone through the ringer a couple of times, been on the back end ass of some poor decisions on a couple of occasions, like you say, should have been a world champion at some point in his career. It just never worked out for him. This fight itself, I think, has been made on two occasions and been pulled from the rug from underneath him. So for him to get an opportunity at this stage, absolutely made up for the kid, right? But I'm disappointed for boxing. Delighted for Martin, disappointed for boxing. I'm concerned for boxing that fights like this now are being served up to the British public. And it'll be served up as, oh, it's a top fight, top two British lads going at it. No, no, no. Listen, Billy Joe Saunders, I'm on record on this podcast on several occasions saying that this guy has all the tools in the world to be really causing problems for the likes of the Canelos and the Triple Gs of this world, right? And I'm referring to the middleweight division. Don't know if he could do it at super middleweight, because let's be honest, he was kind of gifted a world title at super middleweight. And who the fuck has he fought there? Nobody. It's 2 years ago now since he fought David Lemieux at 160. He hasn't done anything at 168 pounds. If he's as good as I believe him to be, and he says he is, the level of opponent should be much better. And this is no disrespect to Martin, but I think Martin's best days are now gone. And he, Billy Joe Saunders, should be operating at a much higher level than this. I know we are living in a pandemic, and I know it is much more difficult to be making fights right now. And I know at the start of the year, Eddie Hearn's comeback to me will be, we were 1 or 2 days away from announcing the Canelo fight. We were there, we were done, and that's where he was going. And this conversation would have been irrelevant at that point. But again, maybe I'm living in the headspace of UFC a little bit too much, because I'm watching the way the UFC are operating and making fights and consistently churning out elite level fights. For us to have one of our world champions fighting a guy that, let's be honest, the majority of people listening to us right now thought that Martin Murray had already retired. They didn't know that he was still fighting, you know? For us to be serving that up now as a world title fight on British soil, on a Friday night, I think it is. I think it's November the 4th. They've moved the date about three times, haven't they?
December.
Sorry. Is it December the 4th? Right, it's the day before Tyson Fury's fighting on December the 5th. I'm just disappointed. Again, reading it going, oh. Delighted, Martin, listen, roll the dice, man. I hope you can pull it off. I really do, because there's a narrative and a wonderful story for everybody there. But on paper, I look at it and I'm just a bit meh about it.
Yeah, listen, I'm torn. I've known Martin Murray since he was an amateur, boxing up in St. Helens. And, you know, I'm proud to call him a friend. He's a good friend of mine and he deserves it. And I just hope that Martin has got at least 25% of his purse secured in advance, because Billy Joe did the shit on him twice.
He should have all of it secured. All of it. Yeah, because exactly, let's be honest, if Canelo then all of a sudden decides that he fancies Billy a knock Joe in December, Billy Joe's fucking him off again.
Exactly. And that's more the point than anything. You know, certainly not going to knock Martin Murray or, you know, you're right. Of course you're right. You know,
I'm not knocking Martin. I don't want that to come across that I'm knocking Martin. Martin's got an opportunity. Run with it. Grab it with both hands and go with it. Should he get the opportunity? But, no. Let's be really honest about it. We shouldn't be in this situation.
The way to look at it is, as you've just pointed out then, Billy Joe's career-defining moment seems to be looking into the bleachers when he moved out of the way that David Lemieux right hand.
Maybe beating Andy Lee is one of them where you go, yeah, go on.
Canelo, that was 5 years ago.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? He beat Andy Lee 5 years ago. The David Lemieux thing was 2017.
Yeah.
You know, in all that time, how many times has fucking Billy Joe stunk the gaff out?
Too many times.
Honestly, Billy Joe does nothing for me. When you say Billy Joe's fighting, I don't get excited whatsoever. He's fucking boring. And he doesn't turn up, and he expects to be put on this, and he expects to get the big fights, and he expects to be talked about in the same breath as Canelo and Golovkin. And I'm bored of all the interviews where he tells me how he's going to beat both those guys, and he's the best, this and blah, blah. Boring. Boring. That Cazares fight last time out was shit. Azufi, when he won the title, was a joke. Fucking hell. The Willie Monroe Jr. performance. Still have nightmares about watching that fight again. There's 36 minutes of my life I'll never get back.
He's only fighting at super middleweight because he can't be arsed cutting weight. He can't be arsed.
Listen, him taking Martin Murray for this defense just looks 100% bad on Billy Joe Saunders.
Yep.
He talks the talk and he doesn't walk the walk. He tries to take easy fights, because the actual big fights that he should be pushing for, why the fuck is Billy Joe Saunders not everywhere asking for Callum Smith? And you can flip that. Why is Callum Smith not everywhere asking for Billy Joe Saunders?
Mm-hmm.
All I can imagine now is Callum Smith is once again sitting by the phone waiting for Canelo to call, or deep in negotiations with Canelo. Maybe they're at their 23rd hour now, about to announce it. No. They've both been here before. Canelo is just fucking both these guys about, and it's embarrassing because they're losing the prime years. And now Billy Joe Saunders is fighting Martin Murray in a fight that, you know, good luck selling that Sky to Joe Public. And you've got, you know, we're hearing John Ryder now is going to fight David Lemieux on the AJ Pulev undercard.
I've no problem with that. So I'm all right with that one.
Listen, I've got no issue with that, but that means Callum Smith definitely hasn't got an opponent now then.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, one way to look at that is if I was Callum Smith, I think getting Canelo, right, it's got to be Billy Joe in a unification fight. Billy Joe's not interested. Caleb Plant and all that, it's not happening because of the pandemic. Right, sound. I want that one back, which everyone says was close. Let me do John Ryder again. I don't think any. I think most of the British public would go, fucking hell, all credit to you. He deserves a rematch. Because a lot of people said it was... a lot of people had John Ryder. I almost said a lot of people had it close. I had Callum Smith winning it marginally, as you know. But most people had John Ryder winning it.
Yeah, I did.
Callum Smith should just go, you know what? I've got a bit of dead time right now. I'm getting fucked about by Canelo. Tell you what, confirm John Ryder. Let me do the John Ryder rematch. But let John know, listen, there might be a bit of step aside money at last minute if Canelo comes out of the woodwork.
Mm.
And I'm sure John Ryder would have gone for the world title. Fucking absolutely.
Mm.
Absolutely. This could easily be Callum Smith versus John Ryder as co-main event to Joshua Pulev. But for some reason, it isn't, because they're still negotiating with Canelo, or maybe this conspiracy Joe Gallagher's got in his head that Eddie Hearn doesn't want him on Sky no more. I don't know what it is. But all I know is that I'm still waiting for fucking Callum to do anything. Billy Joe's taking a fight that is never going to sell. It's just, I can't believe they haven't just fought each other, man. I can't believe Callum Smith and Billy Joe aren't fighting this year.
Everything's weird at the moment. Like, Kell Brook having a bit of a do at Eddie as well last week. I mean, this whole thing's weird. The whole Kell Brook, Terence Crawford thing's a weird thing. I think it looks... Listen, again, not begrudging Kell the opportunity. You're fighting for a world title. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Roll that dice. You're fighting who many would say is the pound-for-pound best on the planet in Terence Crawford. But there's another guy, Terence Crawford, who... unified the super lightweight division, smashed everybody to bits. Okay, there's no stellar names in there, but at the end of the day, he beat everything that was in front of him. He had all the belts and he was the man. Steps up to welterweight. And since he stepped up to welterweight, he just can't get a fight. Whether it's him, whether it's the division, whatever it is, it just doesn't look good. Like you said, the prime years of a top fighter are just being dwindled away, fighting, with all due respect, former champions. What about the now champions? What about fighting the guy that beat Kell Brook? Why don't we get that on? Why don't we make that noise? Now, I know that guy's obviously had that massive car accident and he's got a fight booked against Danny Garcia. But the level of opponent surely could have been better for Terence Crawford than Kell Brook. Now, people will shoot me down for this. They'll be all over me going, what are you talking about? Kell Brook's a top fighter. Yeah, he is. Kell Brook, once upon a time, was a top fighter, but the mistake was taking Golovkin at 160 pounds and getting smashed. Something in that then broke Kell Brook. We saw it in the Errol Spence fight. That wouldn't have been there. If he wouldn't have fought Golovkin, there's no way Kell Brook quits that night. And he did. That's what happened. He had a look at his corner. He says, I'm not feeling this because I've had one orbital done. I know that I've just done the other and I'm not going on. That's what happened that particular night. And ever since that, who's he been knocking about with, Kel? The whole rant that he had about Eddie at the weekend as well was just bizarre. I look at that relationship between Kell Brook and Eddie Hearn. Eddie Hearn has kind of gone out of his way in order to make that lad's career the way that it has been made. I mean, he got him the fight over in the States. Wonderful performance. Wonderful night. Becomes the IBF champion. And then Kel then is kind of reluctant going back to America in order to fight the big boys. He wants these Joe Giordano, whatever that fucker was called. I don't even know half of the names of the bloody guys that he's defended that belt against and who we ended up against, obviously, taking on the Errol Spences and the Golovkins this world. I mean, imagine that. He got that fight because of the relationship he had with Eddie Hearn. And now he's saying, oh, I stepped in to save that situation last minute because it was all Chris Eubank Jr. falling out of the fight and all this type of carry on. He got it, though. He got the fight because Eddie Hearn were there ready to rock and roll and make the fight happen. That whole situation was weird. And then the making of this fight seems really weird as well, that he's done it all on his own with his dad. He's not working with Dominic Ingle anymore.
Well, if you remember, you spoke to him. It was at the Wilder Fury fight. Yeah. Remember when he
came over by himself? He came over by himself.
That's what I mean. And he was at the weigh-ins, and I was running around. We were on national radio. You were fucking on the radio, and Kel was there, and Kel was on air with you, and you were chatting to him about the fight. What are you doing here? And he was like, "I'm here to pick a fight." That's where he did it.
Yeah.
That's where he spoke to Bob Arum at those weigh-ins and said, "I'm available. I'm a free agent. I'm not tied to anyone.
Yeah.
And if Terence Crawford needs a dance partner, I'm your guy." That's where the negotiations begun.
Yeah. And we're here now. We're here. It's happening on November the 14th.
Listen, I get it because I see what it is. Why have Eddie Hearn? Listen, Eddie Hearn's not a contractual fighter, a promoter. He's
mate, it stinks. All the things that I've just said, it stinks of a cash grab. That's what it stinks of.
It does. But what's happened now is, you see, this is why Kel's upset. It is a cash grab. He's gone to Eddie and said, "Listen, I've been to Vegas. I've spoke to Bob Arum. Me and my dad, they're going to negotiate it from here. So you won't get your 10 or 15%. We're not going to negotiate this fight. I'm going to sort it." And Eddie's gone, "Listen, Kel, if you think that's the right thing to do, son, you crack on. Great. Sound." That's happened now. The fight's going ahead. Now Kel and Top Rank have gone to Sky Sports. "Right, the fight's happening. Do you want it?" And Sky have gone, "No."
No, mate.
And obviously Eddie's a part of, well, let's face it,
Eddie decides what happens. Yeah, he's the man.
So Eddie's gone, "No." And now Kel's upset because he's gone, "Fucking Sky have been with me my entire career. And now they've just fucked me off. I'm really pissed off. I can't believe they're doing this to me." Wait a minute.
You fucked him off.
You shafted Eddie out of his 10% or whatever. You can't then go, "Oh, but I want to get on your TV channel." It doesn't fucking work like that. The world doesn't work like that, son. So now it's ended up on fucking Premier Sports or whatever it is. It's just, I feel like boxing is just becoming more disenfranchised across all these fucking different channels now. Fight TV, Premier Sports, Sky, BT. To be a boxing fan now, you've got to be a bit of a mathematician to be able to know where to get it and where to get it from. And unfortunately, because of the streaming world that we're kind of in at the moment, it's fucking easier just to go, bump, 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 Google, "Where's my stream for that fight?" "Here's a stream, Sam." That's it. And you don't have to pay your 10 or 20 quid then either. The boxing is forcing us to do that.
Mm. It's weird that those sites, the Fight TVs of this world and the Premier Sports, they're the ones that are picking up these fights where Sky, BT, ITV, Channel 5, and I'm sure, you know, the negotiate, everybody at boardroom level of all those massive TV companies that I've just mentioned, I'm sure they would have had a conversation about the Terence Crawford, Kell Brook fight, whether it be with Top Rank or whether it be Kell Brook and his team directly. That for me tells you all you need to know about where we're at right now in the world of boxing and where the big TV companies are actually viewing boxing right now. That they're not willing to go, right, former British world champion taking on one of the pound for pound best overseas in a pandemic. Yeah, all right, it's in the middle of the night, but I'm sure it'll do a bit. I wouldn't stick it on pay-per-view, of course, but yeah, that might be all right for us. Nobody wanted it. Nobody wants it.
Nope. Nope. But I tell you what, I bet you there's a queue round the block for fucking Tyson Roy Jones Jr.
Mm.
Tell you that right now.
Numbers game, mate. It's a numbers game. Shall we talk about some positive stuff now? Because this just sounds like we're bashing the shit out of boxing, doesn't it? Absolutely bashing it to
death. Let's talk about the fights this weekend because I'm super excited for a performance of the year, a fight of the year, and the coronation of a new title challenger. That's what I'm looking for. There'll be three tips for these three main events this weekend. I can't wait.
What? I'm interested to see where you're going then with this narrative, mate. Let's start then. Well, first of all, Friday night, Jaime Munguia is fighting again, isn't he? So he's fighting a bit of a knockover. He'll do the business against Johnson. Job done. Let's move on to Saturday then. And we'll go to the SSE Arena for Derek.
The new home of Matchroom, isn't it?
Derek.
What have they labelled it? Matchroom Residency.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Wembley Residency.
Yeah, listen, the obvious reason for this is that it must be applying for crowds. Why go to an arena like that that can hold a crowd if you're not going to consistently keep applying to the government to allow people in to the auditorium to watch the fights? I would have assumed that they've applied for something this weekend, which at this late notice, I'll guess that he's been knocked back, but he's got a few fights coming up, hasn't he, Mr. Matchroom? So I wouldn't be surprised if at some point...
One of them's a test event. One of them would be a test
something
event.
Something like that, yeah.
Plus, I don't know what the weather's like in Essex, but I'm back home in Liverpool now and it's fucking freezing out there.
Yeah.
You couldn't exactly go back to the garden now, could you?
No.
To Bally's garden.
And it's pissing
down
all the time, yeah.
That's what I mean. It's fucking horrible, so...
Go on then.
But yeah, listen... This main event, super excited for it. I don't care how old Derek Chisora is. I love him. He will turn up. He will have a fucking good go. And, you know, the million-dollar question is, where is Usyk at? I think this delay, this lockdown, the pandemic, this fight being pushed back, I think will definitely help in terms of his physical size and his growth, because I think... Usyk still needs to grow into this weight division. You know, 215 against Chaz Witherspoon is just fucking nowhere near big enough, I think, to be able to cope with AJ.
Well, he doesn't even get into the new weight category, does he? With a WBC at 224 pounds.
Exactly. So that's what I'll be looking at this weekend. I want to see Usyk come in at 225 plus. I want to see him start to physically look like a full-blown heavyweight. And he'll need it. He'll need that extra size. He'll need that extra strength against Chisora, man, because the old war horse will make him fucking work for as long as this fight lasts. Yes, Usyk's going to be too quick. Yes, if he's allowed to get into his rhythm, it could become a little bit of a massacre. But if Derek can get his head on his chest, if Usyk's a little bit too light and he just hasn't got that power in there yet, we could see some entertaining rounds from Del Boy, because he always turns up and he'll be giving it a fucking good go. I can't wait for it.
If his Instagram's anything to go by, he's in incredible shape right now as Derek Chisora. He's absolutely giving it everything he's got in camp in order to get himself in the shape of his life for the fight of his life. And I know that he's been at the top level before. I know he's fought for world titles before against Klitschko. But there's something special about fighting an undisputed champion in whatever weight category. And a lot of people will probably class Alexander Usyk in the top 5 pound for pound. This is where Derek's at this weekend, taking on this guy who is supposed to be the biggest threat to the heavyweight division. I'll be honest with you. I think Derek's got three rounds. He's got three rounds to try and knock him out. He's got to start fast as fuck. He's got to be all over him. He's got to turn it into a scrap, turn it into a brawl, set the pace and land and hope he gets him going in that first 9 minutes. Usyk's footwork is elite. I think, personally, this plays out very similar to the Bellew fight. Very similar.
Yeah, I don't think Chisora will be winning after five rounds like Bellew was, but I think it just because... Usyk respected Bellew, and Bellew was in fifth gear from the first bell, don't get me wrong, but Usyk just, I think he just, it took a little bit more time for Bellew to slow down and to start stuttering before Usyk was then able to go through the gears himself and get that finish. Don't get me wrong, you know, Bellew was up after five, yes, but Usyk was absolutely controlling the action. I think this will be slightly different. I think Chisora, I think he's got a round two, maybe three rounds. This will be fun. Just while Usyk's having a little look at him. But I think it'll finish a lot quicker than the Bellew fight. I don't think it'll go six rounds. I think Usyk is absolutely a class act. But you know what? I hope I'm wrong, man. I hope I'm wrong, because we've got time with Usyk. You know, this heavyweight division's about to go on absolute lockdown for everybody who isn't AJ or Fury for the next 12 months. And I think Usyk... going a distance with Chisora and then maybe going back in with Chisora for whatever would do Usyk well. But unfortunately, I just think at this stage, while he'll be game as fuck, hopefully the scales are going to tell me everything this week. I want to see Usyk 225 plus. I want to see Chisora sub 250. If Chisora's heavier than 250, he ain't going three rounds, four rounds. If Usyk is lighter than 225, it could go deep. It could go into the later stages. So loads to think about on the scales on Friday. But yeah, man, Usyk's just a fucking class act. His hand speed, his footwork, his ring IQ, as he proved against everybody at cruiserweight, he will carry it up. He is the biggest threat to the two guys at the top of the division right now. And I think Del Boy is going to get a real hard shock at the weekend, because this kid is something a little bit special.
Lee Selby's back in action. This is an IBF title eliminator. Win this is Teofimo Lopez's mandatory challenger. Gambosas Jr. is the guy that stands in his way. So actually a good fight. If Lee Selby can be pre-Josh Warrington, then we're at it. But I haven't seen him at it since Josh Warrington stole his soul in Leeds that night. He's not really captured it again, has he? You know, I hope he can, because he was a super, super talented fighter.
At one stage, Lee Selby, you know, we were all pretty adamant that he was the best featherweight on the planet.
Mm.
At one stage there, you know, he looked absolutely phenomenal, but that was 5 years ago, man, and this is a lightweight version of Lee Selby as well. Listen, Kambosos Jr. on paper, you know, it's hard to tell with the Australians because the records are often pretty padded out.
Yeah.
But this guy's fought all over the US as well. He's fought half-decent opponents in the US. So you'd like to think and hope he's going to be a little bit of a test. But, you know, it's set up for Lee Selby, obviously, to get the win and move forward. And personally, I think the best thing that could help him to Lee Selby would be if the main man, Teofimo, moves up to super lightweight.
Yeah, that's what will happen. That's what we'll
then big belt, and then Lee Selby is going to be there to pick up the pieces and hopefully could become a two-weight world champion, which would be phenomenal for him and his career. But yeah, man.
Anything else on that card capturing your imagination? No, I'm same. I'm looking at it going, there's knockovers galore there.
Yeah, I see obviously Dave Allen's in with a kid who's 19-0.
Yeah, but look at who he's 19-0
with
against.
19 knockouts. Yeah,
17 of them. 17 of them, by the way, first rounders.
Yeah, yeah, and that's all you'll hear from Sky in the build up to that one.
But look who he's knocked over.
19-0 with 19 knockouts, a ton of them in the first round. But look at his record; it's massively embarrassing.
Yeah,
I've never seen someone beat up so many debutants in my life.
Yeah.
So yeah, while it looks good on paper, I've got absolutely no idea whether Christopher Lovejoy can even fight.
Exactly that, man. It's all on the main event. So when you said a couple of moments ago, you had, what, people rising to become title contenders, big new names. What were the three things that you were looking out for this weekend? What were they?
The coronation of a new genuine title contender.
Is that Usyk?
Usyk?
Okay.
In the heavyweight division.
Okay, right, yeah. Go on, what was the other one?
My next one was a fight of the year contender, and I also had the sensational US or Las Vegas debut of a megastar. So okay, let's just move on.
So I know
Vegas
what the other
first
one is. So okay then. Yeah, you want to do Inoue first?
Inoue. Go on. Yeah, Inoue. Yeah, I think Inoue being lined up with Jason Maloney, another Australian, actually. It's a good weekend for Australians overseas. Mm. Defending his WBA and his IBF world bantamweight titles. You know, we know where we stand with Inoue. One of the best fighters on the planet. If not the best fighter on the
just
planet.
Just on
probably
that,
the biggest puncher, pound for pound, on the planet.
It's a good fight, you know. Inoue will do with the business.
No,
Jason Maloney isn't a mug. You know what I mean? It's not like, yeah, we're having a big American debut and we're just going to give him a tin can to knock over. Jason Maloney's a good fighter, man. I fully expect Inoue to get the job done, but I like that. Again, top rank, stepping up. You know what I mean? Recently, it's them that keep churning out the top fights and the top fighters.
I don't think Maloney's ever been stopped, you know.
No.
He's certainly not been stopped as a pro, obviously. And his amateur record that I looked at was only his international amateur record. Don't get me wrong, international tournaments. So he may well have been stopped domestically in some kind of Australian championships. But if you look at his amateur international records, I think it was Commonwealth Games and so what and so forth. He's never been stopped. He's lost, but he's never, ever been stopped. So he's got a fucking terrific chin, Maloney. But it will be tested to the max this weekend, of course, against the monster, because Inoue is a complete and utter fucking freak, as we all know. 19-0, 16 knockouts, punches like a freight train. Basically, Inoue is the next Manny Pacquiao, isn't he? He's Top Rank's new project. He's Top Rank's new international fighter.
Going through the weights.
Exactly. He'll be training as much as he will be taking English lessons, you better believe it. Because Top Rank wanting to come through as Pacquiao's about to sign off in the last year or two of his career. Inoue is the guy they've got ready to come through, which is why obviously he's getting his Las Vegas debut this weekend. And I think Maloney, as you say, game as fuck, more than deserves to be in there with him. But there's a big difference between The rest of the bantam weights and Young and Uwe, man, because he's a fucking monster.
Yeah, man.
Another highlight reel knockouts coming up.
Okay. Well, that's on Fight TV. Just trying to keep everybody up to date of how they can watch all this. So if you've got a Fight TV pass, Top Rank, the deal there, that's where that fight will be. We're struggling for the Fight of the Year contender that you're going to build up. I actually see it more favourable towards one man here. But go for it. Gervonta against Leo Santa Cruz.
Absolutely can't wait for it. Absolutely cannot wait for it. And it reminds me so much of the Lomachenko-Lopez fight from the other week. You've got a master technician, a wonderful boxer, a veteran, very experienced multi-weight world champion on one side in Leo Santa Cruz, all the experience in the world. And in the other corner, you've got Gervonta Davis, young, brash, big punching, American with a ton of potential and a lot of fights, actually. 23 fights now. Looks like a phenomenal talent. We thought he was going to lose his way for a while, blew up to lightweight, even though he won a world title at lightweight, or a version of an interim world title. It wasn't
the regular world title. You can use the word regular if you want, mate.
Regular bollocks. and unfortunately, I think that's why this fight this weekend is for the WBA super featherweight title, which is Santa Cruz's, and Gervonta Davis's WBA lightweight title. Because I think this will be only for the WBA lightweight title. I don't think Gervonta Davis will make weight. I think he won't make super featherweight. He'll only make lightweight. The fight will go ahead anyway with just one belt on the line, because he'll want to get all the advantages on his side. Because, listen, Leo Santa Cruz may not be a spring chicken anymore, but the guy's only lost one fight in his entire professional career. He's still only 32. He's fucking quality, man. Absolute quality. And, of course, he avenged that loss to Carl Frampton as well in the very next fight with a completely different performance and a completely different game plan. But before you come in, let me give you my prediction.
Go on.
Because I went very heavily in favour of Lomachenko, like so many did, over Teofimo.
Oh, hang on. Don't you dare now. Don't you dare.
I said, cream will rise to the top. Experience matters. Skill matters. Lomachenko will get it done. He'll win on points.
Mm. That worked out for you, didn't it?
I'm actually going to set myself up again here, because I'm going to go Santa Cruz on points.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to get Leo Santa Cruz on points. Maybe a scare, like I predicted with Lomachenko. Maybe a scare, maybe a flash knockdown. But I think Santa Cruz has got the experience to deal with Gervonta Davis's power.
Right. I'll tell you what's really going to happen then, shall I? I think this is Gervonta Davis 2.0. I think the penny's dropped. I think the penny dropped as with this kid. He's been spending a lot of time around Floyd, but good Floyd. He's been in the gym. He's been working. He's been doing his thing. Honestly, I've been all over his social media because I was worried, like you, that he came onto the scene. Do you remember us speaking about him about 2 or 3 years ago? And when we were doing our international picks, we said, listen, this is the guy, Gervonta Davis. Keep an eye on this guy. He's like a small version of Mike Tyson. It's ferocious what this kid does. Anyway, he's gone through everybody like a dose of salts, gets into the Pedraza fight, brilliant performance, then loses his way. I think maybe the fame gets to him. We obviously see him manhandling his girlfriend and all that type of stuff, and just shitty stuff that he was getting up to, really shitty stuff. This camp, I've been following it like fuck, because I've been thinking to myself, this is a massive opportunity to you now, son. A lot of people are losing patience with you. Come on. Pull your socks up, do your thing. Now, I know that we shouldn't judge everything off social media and what we see, because you can paint this false narrative. Of course you can. But I'm just looking at him physically. I'm looking at what he's doing. He's giving me confidence. I've got a lot of confidence for this. I think he'll make weight. I think we'll see super feather. I think he'll hit the scales no bother whatsoever. I think he'll look absolutely superb. This is his coming out party. After this fight, I think a lot of people are going to go, fucking hell. Yes, I remember now. I remember how good this kid was.
I hope so. I hope so.
I'm going to go as far as to say he's going to stop Santa Cruz.
Wow, fucking hell.
He's going to put on a masterclass this weekend, is Gervonta Davis. And to the extent where I think he'll call out Lomachenko off the back of it. I think he'll blow Santa Cruz away and he'll say, listen, mister, you're not a lightweight. You've had your shoulder surgery. Once that heals up, come and play with me. Let's come and do it at Super Feather. I've got at a belt Super now. Feather. Let's go.
At Super Feather.
Me and you at Super Feather, let's dance.
Yeah, man.
That's the fight.
Well, listen, there's an amazing narrative there, as you say. That's a great storyline. It's a great way to do it. It would be unreal. I don't think he will. There's a good chance he wins, and that power cannot be denied. But I just think that Leo Santa Cruz is a bit too sweet for me, man, which is why I think Santa Cruz is going to cause the upset. I think Gervonta Davis will start as favourite.
Would it be an upset?
Mentor behind him, but
you think it?
50-50 fighting it, I guess. Yeah. 50-50.
Yeah. Regis Progres, top kid. He's on the undercard here. Yeah. He's back against Araldez. And then, obviously, in Europe that night as well, Murat Gassiev is making his heavyweight debut, his long-awaited heavyweight debut. We haven't seen him fight for 2 years. It's quite ironic that he's fighting on the same night as Usyk, innit? With yeah, Usyk exactly. Obviously doing his thing and them two having a dance in the World Boxing Super Series way back when. But he's taking on Safiri. You'll be pleased to know it's not Sefer Safiri. It's not the geezer that Tyson Fury had a bit of a dance with. It's Unit Safiri.
Oh, my mate.
Yeah, your mate, yeah. But I fully anticipate that Gassiev will come through this because I don't see the point in anybody as elite as him at cruiserweight stepping up to heavyweight to fight a cruiserweight stepping up. I don't fucking see the point of that. Listen, you've been mustered at this weight, son. Go and test yourself against a proper big boy. What's the point? What's the point exactly. In having a dance after 2 years out against someone that you'd have beaten with your eyes shut 2 years ago? No point.
As a cruiserweight. Exactly. Ridiculous. No idea why they're making that matchup. Makes no sense whatsoever. Usyk did the right thing, man. He went straight up and fought Chaz Witherspoon, a proper heavyweight.
Mm.
And it's not like we're short on proper heavyweights. I don't understand what experience Gassiev gets from it. It just gets him back out there, shakes off the cobwebs, I guess. But really disappointing matchup that. Just on that San Antonio card, by the way, that's at the Alamo Dome, that Gervonta Davis, Santa Cruz.
Oh, yeah, fans. Fans.
On the undercard as well. Yeah. He's from Texas.
There's fans in that.
The reason it's happening, that's what I'm saying. The reason it's there, the reason it's in Texas is because there's going to be fans inside the Alamo Dome. There's going to be fans in there, a couple of thousand fans. And hopefully that's a step forward. And it just shows that Texas is, these states in America are trying to compete with each other to get back in to attract the big sport of moments, which is why you've seen in the UFC, Conor McGregor's talking about fighting in Texas. Texas is the place to be right now because big Trump states, they don't give a fuck about COVID and they just want to get fans in arenas.
Mm.
So that for that reason, I'm a bit gutted we're not getting on domestic UK TV or any kind of TV at the moment. I'll have it. I'll have it on my R Swedish box. But for most people, yeah, it would have been nice to see it, just to see fighting with fans again.
So what are we going for on our threefold? You're going Usyk stoppage.
I'm going Usyk knockout. Usyk stoppage, Usyk, fucking hell. Usyk via TKO.
Yeah.
Rounds 5-8. And okay. Then going Inoue, stoppage first time against Maloney. Around 8-12 late in the fight.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go with Leo Santa Cruz on points in a big upset, maybe even a split decision, but Santa Cruz on points.
Okay. I agree with Usyk. I think it'll be in and around that way, round period as well. I'm going to go Inoue slightly earlier. I think he's going to come out like a fucking train. And I think it might be done with in 3 rounds.
Woohoo! Wow.
Inoue, like you said, stellar performance from him. So we're going Usyk knockout, Inoue knockout, and I'm going Gervonta Davis knockout.
Triple knockout.
Triple knockout,
baby.
That's it.
Yeah.
Man. That's
Why
it.
Why not? Put your balls out there.
That's
Why
it,
not?
Man. Why not? Well, the newly shaven courtesy of Manscaped. Thank you very much for that. We're getting messages now where people are using the Fight 20 code. That's right. There's going to be a lot of shaven bushes, as you put it down, whilst we were out in Abu Dhabi. Everybody's going to be looking good, man.
I know. I need to get back into my old.
I thought you were going to get it out then. I thought you were going to undo the fucking dressing gown that you're wearing because you looked down for a second. I thought you were going to get your tackle out.
I need to get mine fully charged again. I wore it out when we were away in Abu Dhabi. I need to get fully charged, get my anus and my ball sack done in time for the weekend. Big weekend of fights, and I want to be nice and smooth all over. And if you want to be smooth as well, hit up manscaped.com. Use the code FIGHT20. Get yourself some discounts and get yourself nice and smooth like the lads.
That's it.
Snooker ball bollocks, man. It's the future. I've seen it. I've got it.
Snooker ball bollocks. Is that what you're... That's his nickname now. There's the cue. There's the balls. Snooker ball bollocks.
Manscaped.com.
There you go. Manscaped.com. Fight 20. Thank you very much for listening to us. It's going to be a cracking weekend this weekend. Hopefully you'll find some way to consume everything that we've spoken about. I know there's not easy deals there for you to get your hands on, but it is Fight TV for the Inoue fight. Nothing as of yet for Gervonta and Santa Cruz. Hopefully something will drop over the next couple of days. And Usyk Chisora is on Sky Sports box office.
And let's just hope fucking Teddy O'Connor's sitting at home watching it on Sky Sports box office as well, shall we? Hey, Eddie? Hey? Make sure Teddy's at home, lad. We don't need to see that piece of shit at ringside. Thank you very much.
It's not going the distance anyway. Be fine. The podcast is available on iTunes. Fight Disciples is what you're looking for. FightDisciples.com is our website. Go and get yourself in there. Everything's on there for you. Spotify, you name it. It's all there, including social media feeds, YouTube feeds. There's going to be a couple of videos going up this week talking about various bits of which we'd like you to come and get involved with. And you can also buy some ale. They can buy ale today. If they're listening to this on Tuesday, right?
Yes.
You can have the ale by Friday, can't you? Easy.
Listen, there's no good playing Bob Apple with an apple. You want to play Bob Apple with a can of proper tackle.
That's it.
That's what real men do. Get the beer in. Time to go the distance. Listen, we're not sunning ourselves in Abu Dhabi now. We're back in tier three.
That's it.
We'll be locked in ourselves. We'll
pissed
have our tinnies ready.
Pissed up.
For the big fight on Saturday night.
Will I get some? Still haven't had any. You've still got a fridge full, haven't you?
Maybe.
I'm surprised you're on the red, the rosé wine tonight and not on the proper tackle. Is it a bit more of a sophisticated not with with the missus? Is that what it is?
Well, I was hoping so. Yeah, if you'd fucking hurry up and get on with it, I'm trying to wine and dine the missus here. I haven't seen her for 2 weeks.
That's why he shaved his balls. I'll have a glass of wine. Shave me nuts. Here we go. He's going to go in the... Well, once I stop recording now, he's going to go into other rooms. She's going to be fast asleep, mate. Job done.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Guarantee it.
Right. Thank you very much for listening to us. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.